Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Fermi and his discovery of the moderator of a wooden table. I want to go into that for a little while. So I've just been into the garden, just pushing myself, and I don't know whether it's going to be successful and, you know, how it will go out, to do a little talk on neutrons. And I have so much to say about these little guys, the neutrons. But these were coming out of a radioactive source. I think it would be uranium, or not uranium, it would have been radium or some source like that, by Fermi, Enrico Fermi. He was one of the discoverers of, or a very key person in the early days of nuclear physics. Now, just as a bit of a side, you've got Fermi, Einstein, Dirac, these incredible minds, and essentially, you know, I'm trying to work out what goes on in terms of, well, we have a society where we have, it's highly filtered. These people are really good at their job, and I just think that as we've sort of geared up and created a huge mass of engineers and scientists, we've sort of picked up a whole, in the process, we've picked up a whole lot of people who are just not as good as these people. You know, we've now got thousands of scientists, but none are as good. I think to survive in their period, they had to be very good to survive, and they were in a world where there was sufficient thinking time, and there was an administration and distraction of media and stuff like that. They really had their experiment, and there's nothing on TV. There was just fine work, and the majority of people they met were other scientists. I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine how these people were so brilliant, so dedicated, and just basically had the right equipment. So the neutron was discovered, and there was a way of making neutrons, so you could get a alpha particle source, which is relatively easy to come by. This is any sort of unstable element like radium or plutonium or even uranium you'd get. And these would produce high-powered alpha particles. So an alpha particle is two neutrons and two protons, the inside of a helium. In fact, the radioactive decay inside the centre of the Earth creates helium gas alpha particles. The alpha particles are coming out, and that's the helium in our balloons. So if you have a helium balloon, it's not helium from the Big Bang. The helium on Earth is rapidly, it escapes into space, but the helium in our balloons comes out. So helium is a really common element. It's something, you know, a good third the mass of the universe is helium. The other fraction is hydrogen, and that hydrogen is burning into helium. So there's no shortage of helium in the universe, but on Earth there is. And so our helium is locked away in the heavy nuclei in our Earth, which is undergoing radioactive decay, heating up our volcanoes and everything else like that, and oozing through the crust. But we can get some of this radioactive material, distill it, and actually create our own alpha particle sources. And these alpha particle sources, when fired against beryllium, the beryllium absorbs the alpha particle and goes pfft, and just shoots out neutrons. So we can create a secondary neutron source, and these neutrons can then travel through, and neutrons can actually, if they slow down, stick in the center of atoms, that they can transmute atoms. So the idea that you could load up an atom with neutrons turn to protons, and the atoms just slowly walk up the periodic table is a standard way. Now, what happened is that they had the neutron source and the target, and they would fire at the target and then measure if they've got any new elements on it. Fairly simple experiment. And it wasn't working. And, you know, a well-appointed laboratory, I think in it could have been in Italy, I think it was in Chicago, this guy put neutrons into he had this nutrient source on his marble top, and he put the experiment holus bolus on a wooden table and began to work. And then he took it off the wooden table on the marble table and it stopped working. So he discovered that the neutrons, that wood was important in it. In fact, putting actual wood in between the source and the sample proved very effective. And the story is that the neutrons, if they don't stick, they can bounce off. And so the alpha particle goes in with a hell of a lot of energy. It bursts the it's sort of like a huge breaking up a pack of in a snooker. It's a lot of energy, and everything flies out with a lot of energy. So the neutrons fly out with a lot of energy. The neutrons then go into the wood, and they take a bit to bounce and stick to the alpha particles. So if they basically bounce off a wall, something heavy, they don't lose energy. But if they bounce off a light particle, like hydrogen atoms, they lose half their energy each time. They knock the hydrogen about the place. This was the discovery of a moderator. And so the combination of the discovery of a moderator, and I think Otto Hahn in Munich discovered that was Fermi was doing all the elements, and he missed the fact that when he fired into uranium, uranium just absolutely blew apart. He was building them up, and the idea he missed, Enrico Fermi missed it, blew apart. But when it blew apart, he published the Germans published the fact that they could get uranium when it had a neutron into it, it blew apart, and this produced more neutrons. Of course, this had the immediate thing is that you had a source where the fuel produced neutrons, and of course you had to then have a situation in a peaceful nuclear reactor where you have a moderator. It's the idea of Enrico Fermi, and Enrico Fermi, curious character. I might read Wikipedia article on him. Very intense, likable human character. He's sort of overlooked. Very few people know about Fermi. They have the fermions. And so he discovered fission. He didn't discover fission. He discovered the moderator, which allowed controllable fission. And so what would happen is that you have certain things which slow neutrons down and other things which absorb neutrons. So he had this, built the first nuclear reactor, which is 2 watt, which is sort of not enough to even get a very much of a dim glow on a LED. That's what 2 watt is. So 2 watts, a small amount of heat. He had neutron detectors, so he could see the radiation flux. So it wasn't so much the energy produced. Had this large graphite pile. So the carbon they decided was not absorbing the neutron. Water absorbs neutrons. Carbon is ideal. So he had this graphite block with uranium in it, and he had the moderator. But he had control rods, which was absorbing the neutron. So a neutron would bounce, and a neutron wouldn't do anything in the carbon until it hit the uranium and caused more neutrons to come out. And so what he would do is that he would store it and then pull out the control rods. The control rods were a neutron poison, which absorbed it. And so he would pull them out by this rope. The control rods would be in this gymnasium on a pulley on a rope. And if this was sort of a bit like the Atomic Boy Scout making a nuclear bomb out of americium, a radioactive detectors.
Immersing you could possibly do it is radioactive boy scout who's going to make an atomic bomb out of these types of things. However, he didn't know this, so he had someone there as he lowered, as he pulled up at the axes, as he pulled up the control rods. He needed a way to quickly drop the rods down. So he, being in America, Chicago, he had a whole lot of, he had an axeman, a champion person who, with the command, would get the axe and chop the rope. So it's safety control rod axeman. That was his job. And you get him to scram the reactor. That is safety control rod axeman the reactor. He would knock these down, and I think it's there's different, I think cadmium, there's different elements which just say have got huge neutron section cross sections, so these are like these huge big paper towel, if you like, for neutrons. It absorbs them and they just can keep on absorbing them, and so there's these metals that you put in which actually fuck up your experiment. So basically control orbs are fuck ups. So you design your reactor to really go ahead, and you design it with control rods in it, so the control rods stop the reactor. So you pull the control rods out, the neutrons go across, and the neutrons, the magic of a nuclear reactor as opposed to a nuclear bomb is that you have slow neutrons, and the slow neutrons get absorbed by the uranium. Now, in an atomic bomb, obviously you can't have moderator there, or too much moderator. You can have moderator on the outside, and the neutrons go out and curve around and reflect back in, and neutron mirrors on your bomb. But essentially, you have a second fission window with high-speed neutrons. And so a atomic bomb can operate with these extraordinarily high neutron fluxes, and the neutrons, they don't necessarily bounce off each other, but you get a population of so many neutrons, you get a population of slower neutrons, so you get your high cross section, you get the high cross section bump to get fission happening at high neutron flux, but this is the low stuff. And so that's Enrico Fermi and the safety control rod axeman, the scram for nuclear reactor. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.